Yeah, so this is Alex.
And this is Anna.
From good old Ghana, and you're listening to House of Noise.
Welcome to another episode,
of House of Noise. Welcome, everyone.
How are you just stealing my line?
Stole my line.
Is that because I always introduce the show?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm just going to shut up across from you. And
got the smallest violin right here.
Oh.
Is it because I was too quiet? Is that the problem?
No, because
You're trying to be overbearing.
No, I'm not. Damn it, I'm too tired to take over.
You're trying to be overbearing. You're trying to take over.
Listen, we need to tell our listeners what this wonderful, glorious episode is.
What is it?
And who we talk to.
Who did we talk to?
We talked to Puta Volcano. From Athens, Greece, excuse me, but they're Greek.
Athens, Greek.
Yes. Anna and Alex, brother and sister. Anna's the lead singer. Alex is a guitarist.
Yes.
And they're absolutely adorbs.
They are.
And it was a fun interview.
Did you just say adorbs?
I did say adorbs.
What is wrong with you?
Anyway, moving on. Their newest release is called Primitive Data, and it is off of their album, AMA, coming out on March 13th. And you can actually go in and pre-order it now. You can order it on, it's a black gold vinyl, CD or digital. I'm going to order it on CD. But they're just, you know, they're like rock and roll.
You know, if you're a fan of Alice in Chains,
Soundgarden, any of that kind of stuff, you'd love them. And I like their sound. They're just, you know, grungy and rock and roll and dirty and sludgy. And
wasn't Alice in Chains and all them? They were like the post-grunge era, right?
Yeah, but to me, it's kind of like
it kind of
all
blurs.
The same.
It blurs.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not hair metal, so, you know.
Well, don't expect them to sound like, you know, Alice in Chains or
right.
Soundgarden.
No, not exactly like, but they're very, you know, similar sounding.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, they were like super nice and super cool. And, you know, they were calling from Greece. So it's, you know, a little bit of a language thing, but it was fun. And
I think we understood 99% of it.
Yeah, we did.
There was a couple times I was like, what's that? What?
Right.
But you caught it. So it was.
I did.
All right,
they're
good.
Awesome.
She understood.
Yes.
What was the drink that you said?
Ouzo. It's basically it's like a licorice liquor. It's Greek.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. It's enough to like make your hair melt.
So
it's awful.
It's a Greek version of Jägermeister.
Yeah, basically. It's very strong. I did try it. It's awful. But real ouzo is like, it's strong shit. But I think they only drink it for special occasions. Like it's not something that comes out of the liquor cabinet very much, if at all. So, but yeah, that's what it is. So
I know you were like, you're not busting out the ouzo. And I looked at you and I said, what the hell is ouzo?
So I think they were impressed that I knew what ouzo was. But
We got into, you know, we didn't get into them growing up at all. I mean, they're classically trained.
Yeah, which is cool.
All right, I'm not going to spoil the whole episode.
Yeah, well, why would we want to do that? If we spoil it, then why do they need to listen to them? So we're just going to let it play out and let people enjoy it.
Yeah.
So.
Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah.
Right
and
now?
Until next time.
Right now?
Right now.
Right now.
Yeah, right now.
Right now.
Exactly. House of Noise.
Hey.
Hi.
Can you hear me? This is Alex.
Hi, Alex.
Hey, Alex.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I have Anna here with me.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Anna. So,
how are you?
Good. We're trying to stay warm in the near blizzard that's happening outside of our window here in Michigan right now.
Oh, sorry.
Well, first and foremost, welcome to the house. Welcome to the House of Noise podcast.
Not used to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you figured we'd be used to the snow since we grew up here in the States, and Michigan is famous for snow and winter, but it never gets any easier. What's it like in Greece right now over there in Athens?
Well, it's not warm, but it's like 6 degrees. It's cold for us.
How I wish that for us here.
Yeah.
So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Be here.
You're welcome. And I just have to say, I really do appreciate your music. You guys are really, I love your sound. You remind me so much of Alice in Chains and Soundgarden and just that grungy, sludgy, like true rock and roll. And I absolutely love it.
Thank you. We are humbled.
Yes, definitely.
Are you guys related?
Oh, yeah. We're brother and sister.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we had a sneaking suspicion.
Yeah, yeah. So that has to be nice that you guys get to work together and spend a lot of time together and be creative and
Well, I'm sure at times there's the family dynamic where you guys butt heads, though.
Well, yeah, but that's also true for the other two guys. Like when we work between the four of us, it's the same dynamic.
Right.
So yeah, like we're siblings, but
yeah. The only difference is that I haven't used violence against the other two guys during our youth. So yeah. The only difference. Other than that, the family.
I've lost a tooth to her.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow.
But then he grew like really strong, so I don't get the chance to do that anymore.
Oh,
but yeah,
darn it,
really great.
Darn it.
So how was it growing up together? I mean, when did you guys realize that, you know, music was something that you really wanted to get into?
Well, we have been quote unquote classically trained since we were wee kids.
Yeah.
But playing in a band together was a happy accident. Like I remember I was just jamming with some friends, like as a teenager. And,
he just used me as a tool.
She was in the vicinity. And I was like, oh, well, just, you know, sing.
I was in collateral, like, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. It's been, basically, we have not been together in a band.
Gotcha.
So what were you guys classically trained on? Was it multiple instruments or was it a focus on?
Well, I was a classical guitar teacher. That was my main instrument.
And I was I was playing the piano, piano.
Do you still play the piano?
I do, yeah. But isolated on my own, so they won't let me play the piano. Use that thing in the band.
We steer clear of the rock opera genre in general.
Oh,
you know, okay. There will be no November rain in this band.
Hey, a piano would add a little more dynamics to this to the music. You know, it's not it shouldn't be out of the question.
You know, not having that is a risk we're willing to take.
I do know that was an issue with Guns N' Roses when Axl wanted to do more of the like the piano and the symphonic, and they were just like, we're a rock and roll band, what are you thinking?
Exactly. Yeah. So he's keeping me between the, you know, holding me back.
Yeah, definitely he's holding you back.
Not down that road.
We're starting. Yeah, we're starting.
But what's costing, you know?
Right.
No.
Yeah, I am. He's maintaining control, so I appreciate that. Yeah.
Sure. What is the music scene in your area like? Is there a lot of rock and roll bands? You know, what's the climate?
Yeah, like? How is your band received locally as well?
Pretty well. And yeah, there's tons of bands locally to the extent that we can pretty much like categorize them by seniority. Like, you know, there's, I think we're now at the third generation there'll be like the oldest band, then a medium tier of band, and then now it's us. Wow. So yeah, it's booming basically. It's very, very good to be a band in Athens these days.
Yeah, that's
I mean, obviously not financially, but you know, from an artistic point of view, there's many stimulants like all around, and promoters are, you know, getting up to speed with how things should be. Fans too, it's great.
Do you guys, as far as your albums, and you have several albums out, and they're all really, really good. Do you guys work out of the same recording studio to do all your work?
Well, I know a lot of artists have their own recording studio as well. So is that the case?
I would say the past two.
Yeah, the past. So the upcoming album, the previous one, were done in the same studio. I think a lot of bands start out of home studios, but usually the case is that they evolve. All of them aim to record properly because we're talking about acoustic instruments. Like even if they are electric, you need to mic them up.
Right. Right.
Electronic music. So everyone has in the back of their mind that, you know, we should go to a proper studio. And thankfully we have very good sound engineers. Like there's a handful of them that know what they're doing.
They're being trained.
You know, once again, you have a sort of unwritten progression that you can follow. Like you start almost DIY, and then in the mid-tier that we currently are, you have the studios to go to, which is good.
And it's good to start relying on others and having a producer in the equation who's going to take over and suggest new things in terms of how every song is going to be formed. And yeah, it's actually giving an aesthetical point of view in the entire thing. So it's being divided in many, many different roles. And I think this is very useful for us too. Like, we're growing musically through watching how it actually needs to be done.
Yeah, I think that's something that's lost on some of the newer bands that are coming out, is they don't realize the importance of having a producer and having that studio where, you know, they get that push for certain things, and they get, you know, they help mold you into a more unified and better sounding band.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, you end up playing something that's your music, but you know, it's a different perspective. And at the very least, having an external voice can lead to resolving arguments much quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's art and it's always subjective. So anyone can go at any point, like, I just don't like this. I don't need to justify myself.
Right.
But the producer can go, this is how it's going to be. So, you know, just play it.
Yeah. And of course, it has to do with trust. Like, trusting the person who's going to produce the album, trusting each other, and so on. Like, it's a chain of trusting.
Right.
People.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, you have to be able to trust people in order to get the job done and have things done in a smooth and timely manner.
Like, you're outside and, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I get that completely. Completely. You guys.
And we have some songs, to be honest.
Yeah. Who?
For sure.
Who's your producer that you guys use?
He's. His alias is Johnny Turku. He's the same guy who produced the previous album. And he's a great musician himself. He plays in a couple of bands.
Oh, okay.
One of them, his current band is called Kuba Turku, hence his surname. He's a friend, first and foremost, and we trust his opinion. So... And we also trust the way he would experiment, like, because he's transparent. Most times he will be like, I don't know where I'm going with this, but I have a feeling, and it usually works out for us.
Yeah.
Plus, he takes responsibility for the unknown. Like, I think we should do that, even though it sounds unfamiliar, just go for it. So we just trust him and go on with what he says.
Yeah. That's got to inspire you guys to kind of step out of the box and try something new and exciting.
Yeah, especially if that trust is there and you know, you put your faith in him.
Oh yeah, and to be honest, like, I cannot speak for all four of us, but as far as I'm concerned in guitar sound, I'm amazed because if I were to dial in my tones, I would not select what he does. Yeah. But after I listen to the finished product, I'm like, well, that's what I want to sound like.
Yeah.
So every time it's interesting because after we record an album, I have to buy new gear. I'm like, oh, thank you. Once again, you know, the road to poverty continues.
Right.
But it's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, nobody gets rich being a musician, no matter where you, what country or, you know.
Yeah.
So you guys have done several festivals. Do you already have your festivals lined up for the summer or?
Or is there a few still in the works?
So we have an upcoming tour in Europe this spring. I think the summer festivals are being booked right now. And there is, so our fifth member is Mike. I think you talked with Mike. Mm-hmm. With Alex. He is a mastermind. So he could not be here with us, but he's the one who knows all that stuff.
Oh, like, okay.
I think we have summer festivals and maybe even some autumn ones, but I'm completely in the dark. That's how he wants us to be. You know?
Right, yeah, right. That's exactly his plan.
He just points. What he's meaning. He just points and says, play there now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, go, peons, play. Play well.
Go now.
So, Luna, do you still do the modeling?
Yeah. I used to do that.
Yeah. Do you guys have, like, day jobs to support you while you're, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like we said, music doesn't make anyone rich.
Of course. So I have picked another path, which is like my job and my studies are based on it, which is visual arts. So
oh, okay.
you can understand by that it's the most stupidest choice, life choice, that I'm not going to make money out of any of the two.
Right. Yeah, sort of interjection. Like, my sister has chosen to be in a band. And her alternative to make money is fine arts.
Yeah. So,
you know.
So that's my practical way of surviving and
sure.
practical way of thinking. But but I'm figuring it out.
Yeah. Like,
I end up being really busy, not making too much money, but surviving, I guess.
Sure. Sure.
But I could certainly say that I'm happy with my life.
Yeah, I was definitely.
And modeling. Like, most of the stuff that I do have occurred on the side. So it's fun.
Nice.
Like, I watch my life from a distance and I'm enjoying it, to be honest.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, I was definitely, I definitely started in that boat. I wanted to be an artist, which, you know, I do paint and I do sculpt and stuff. And it just, to try to get into that market is, it's just ridiculous. And you got to work ridiculously hard you know, constantly making and trying to sell and rejection. And it pretty much is the same as being a musician too.
Oh yeah, it's actually.
Well, who or what, I guess, inspires you guys as artists to access that creative part of you?
Well, I guess that's personal, but I think, I don't know, daily life, and to me personally, the scale of things, like, we are minuscule, and that's amazing to me. Because we tend to work together very well if we put our minds to it.
Yeah.
I think that's my main inspiration. 100% I steer away from anything political because it's been done
right.
very well by people who are a lot more politically versed than any of us is. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think like existential things, but not in the very somber way. Like just, you know, not necessarily the meaning of life, but
me that would be the thing.
Yeah, like how what we do day to day, you know, creates a larger tapestry of patterns.
Yeah.
That's, you know,
so you're not trying to start any revolutions. That's for sure.
Oh, no.
Or maybe, but very silent.
Like, maybe, you know, maybe promote critical thinking.
Yeah.
And then
you can call it a revolution.
Right.
There you go. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's a commodity.
Yeah, for sure. It is. So because you guys are, you know, in another country, is it easier for you to do things internationally because of technology and have access to things because of technology? Has that really helped you?
I think we're in the golden age of music, and I stand by it. I think it's the easiest thing you can do is actually reach your true audience. Like the way I think about it in my head is, mm-hmm. 50 years ago, if you were to play something extreme and very instrumental and your neighbor didn't like it, you would either have to change it or stop playing it.
Yeah, like the feedback would be
really... Yeah, like if your neighbor didn't like it, you were doomed. But yeah. Now, if your music would only appeal to 20 people in the world, and if you're diligent enough, you have the means to find those 20 people. And, you know, you might not be the next Billie Eilish, but at least your, you know, 20 pairs of ears that want to listen to your music will be there for you. So it's, you know, it's very easy.
It's kind of fair, to be honest.
The only difficulty is you need someone who is business savvy.
Yeah.
It's not... Even the DIY scene is not naive anymore.
Right.
It's someone to actually manage things. Like, it's properly a field of its own.
Yeah, they know how to reach those 20 people that you need to reach. Because on your own, you can put it out there all day, but you'll probably never reach those 20 people.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, you have the means, but also... The audience is so much more saturated content wise, not only from music, but, you know, it's the age of scrolling, so you have to you know, catch the attention and keep it retain it for as long as possible.
That's the hard part. That mm-hmm. is definitely the hard part.
Yeah,
paying attention, I think, in 2020 is an act of love.
Yes,
I would say. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. I wish the way people consumed music today was not the way it is.
No.
Because people are, because of one's lack of attention, people are either overwhelmed or underwhelmed, and they tend to focus on the wrong things for that reason, I think.
Yeah, but, you know, a positive side of that, to me at least, is, you know, that creates a very good contrast. Mm-hmm. You can very easily determine who is, you know, actually into music.
True.
Yeah. No, I think it's an underground type scene right now. I mean, anybody that you want to find that's good, you got to really dig for them, and you got to know people who know different bands that are really good.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are starting to rise up, and you know, you see them touring around a lot, but I mean, there's a lot of really good bands out there that are having a hard time, you know, getting above water when it comes to the sea of as many bands that are out there.
Yeah, plus it's a common feature amongst advanced listeners that they want to dig and find. Like, they're the ones who are going to discover something new, and that gives them, you know, great deal.
It becomes a sort of social currency. Like, I discovered that band first, they're mine.
I mean, we all have been through that, and really rewarding.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I was... how do you pronounce the new album coming out? Is it Emma?
Emma?
Yeah.
You got that right.
Okay, good.
Emma.
Because I want to make sure I pronounce it right.
Word.
What does it mean?
Well,
caretaker, I would say.
Yeah, like, it's a term that they use in India to, like, revere the term of mother. You know, one who cares for you and loves you unconditionally. Okay. And will do anything to keep you safe.
Nice. All right. I like the picture. Is it someone actually wrapped in gold? Is that like, is there
no,
someone?
No, that would be a sculpture that I made in New York.
Oh.
Yeah, do you know the director, Robert Wilson?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was in a residency at his center in New York. So I made this sculpture and then wrapped it with a material to, so that it ended up being our artwork.
Oh,
I think.
Okay.
All right.
So it has a long story behind it. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Do you
it's
still,
pretty cool.
I was going to say, do you still have that piece?
No, because it was actually made out of chocolate.
Oh!
It was dry from day one. Yeah. Yeah.
I would have eaten it.
Yeah.
I'll admit, I would have eaten it.
I actually ate it, yeah.
That was a lot of chocolate, mind you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'd have a friend or two help.
Yeah, that much chocolate at once might kill a man, I'm just saying. So it looks like it looks like people can do this in they can pre-order it in vinyl, a gold black vinyl, CD,
yeah. Yeah.
And digital. And it looks like you guys are doing the bundles too, which is really cool.
Oh, yeah. Thanks to Mike,
yeah.
Because we're primitive when it comes to marketing.
Yeah.
But he knows his thing. Yeah. The golden vine was impressive to us, too.
Yeah.
It was his idea. I don't want to take credit for that.
Yeah, for sure not.
Yeah.
Because it seems like vinyl is making somewhat of a comeback.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And, the weird thing is, even people that don't actually have a turntable buy vinyl.
Yeah, which is crazy.
I think it's because it's a link to that era when we used to physically hold music in our hands. Like, I never grew up on vinyl. Like, I grew up on CDs, but I remember the act of, you know, picking through your CDs, just one, and playing it while going through the booklet or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
totally different choreography in terms of...
Yeah, so people will still listen to the digital version of it, but they like to have the vinyl for, you know, the fetish of actually owning a physical copy of it. And then you have the audiophiles who actually listen to vinyl. And it was... like a stress point for us, because one thing I didn't know until this summer was you can only fit so much music into a vinyl and keep the quality pristine, which is like, I think around 43 minutes.
Okay.
I
didn't know that.
We were edging on, you know, like, I think we're at 45 or something. And you start to do some bass or whatever. And the debate was, I think I would not be able to discern the difference because I'm not a vinyl enthusiast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But those who actually aim for that would be able to tell, and they would not be happy about it.
Oh, okay.
So it's an unexpected travel.
Right.
Going for the vinyl.
I didn't even know that. So you schooled me. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know it.
That's, I think, the extent of how much schooling I can do on vinyl. Like,
right.
If I want to brag, I know how to detail.
Yeah, he just straight up said, here, baby bird, let me feed you.
Right.
Yeah.
So is it difficult touring in Europe? I mean, I know there's a lot of borders, so is that something that takes a lot of work? I mean, I'm sure that's probably out of your guys' hands, but...
I think it depends not only on the country, but basically on the specific person that's guarding the border that day. And also, we have not had that... much of an experience. We had one tour, which was, I think we were pretty lucky. We only got stopped in one border, and that was a painful experience because we had to unload everything, document it on a paper.
Oh, geez.
And reload it. Wait like a couple of hours.
That was kind of painful.
But yeah, I assume we can expect more of that. And I think even actually big bands go through that. Well, the big bands actually don't travel with their gear.
Right.
But the road is through that pain point.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the ones that gotta go through all the pain and suffering.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just curious. You have a song out right now. Excuse me. I just had food, so I'm a little had to clear my throat. Primitive Data, which I love that song. So
thank you.
When that's out, but the album isn't out yet, like how does that work? Was that the only song that was ready to go and it's just kind of like, hey,
The whole album is ready and has been for some time.
Okay.
It's just Mike has a very strict pipeline.
Gotcha.
He adheres to. And we are not to share the album with anyone.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he has like a plan for things. And right. I don't know, I realized for some time now that it works to our favor.
Right.
And also I think he has some very particular ways of actually measuring and gauging how we grow. So even, you know, releasing one thing will tell him how, you know, it's going to go in the following months. I don't know. That's sorcery to me.
Right,
That's out of my league. But yeah, he has like a roadmap of things to come. And that was the first track we all agreed on.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Tell him he needs to stop being so stingy with the album.
Sorry, you broke up.
I said, tell Mike he needs to stop being so stingy with the album.
Well, he would say, be patient.
I imagine his office is full of nothing but post-it notes and pie charts and graphs and Excel
and
sheets.
And a very elaborate whip. whip us into, you know, he disciplines us. Like, peons, you know, you missed a note there.
Oh, so what have you guys enjoyed most about being musicians and being able to bring music to the masses and whatnot? What do you find most enjoyable about it?
Well, to me personally, and I was having this discussion pretty recently with a friend who writes electronic music. I was like, I'm very into electronic music, but the difference is rock music is also very physical. So I think to the four of us, it's very physical too. Like we miss playing gigs when we don't, mainly because not so much for the crowd, but it's very good to play as a team on stage. It's actually, you know, like a workout and psychotherapy at the same time.
Yeah, it's like going to the rink and running on a treadmill. Mm-hmm. That's the way I could best describe it.
Gotcha.
Like a good session of therapy.
Exhausting. It's like a good workout.
Okay.
But it's worth good it. Because, you know, all four of us are straight edge in the loose term.
Mm-hmm.
And, it, you know, it's a very good conduit of things to come out.
Yeah, for sure.
Straight edge. So yeah, you said you're straight edge. So quote unquote. So you guys, so that means that you don't really go out drinking or anything. You might have a drink here and there, but nothing major.
Well, I think the three of us, three being
the boys.
Anna, the drummer Steph, and me, we don't drink really. The bass player Boogie does drink, but only beer. Some might argue that's, you know, a little bit more than water. So
yeah, plus they don't like let me party when we play together. I do that when I'm on my own. So when I'm with the band, I'm a good girl.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's
okay. Okay.
Yeah. So nobody whips out the Ouzo?
Not really, no.
No.
I don't know, I'm sorry if we, you know,
don't fit the stereotype of it.
But yeah, no mastika liquor. But we're very more than willing to provide, you know.
Yeah, smuggle it.
We'll smuggle some ouzo and mastika to anyone who wants to. But yeah, we don't
export it.
Yeah.
Also, I really don't know how bands used to do it. Like,
yeah,
it's exhausting even when you're not drinking. Like, right. If they did that on top, I just don't know how they did that. Like,
I think it was last. I was gonna say, I think it was last summer we had two shows in a row. It was the same band playing, and we wanted to see them both nights. And, you know, and we partied it up the first night. And by the second day, we were like, we're going to take off early tonight because we are pooped. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting a little old. Jenna's a little bit older than I am. But, just a couple of years.
Yeah, whatever.
But, you know, as you get older, it gets harder and harder to party like that. I remember being in my 20s, I could party all night and then do it again the next day, no problem.
Well, time is a bitch for all of us.
Yeah, that is very true.
But also, to that point, I don't think it's, you know, 100% physical. Like, your body can take it, but it's the responsibility that weighs on you.
Yeah.
Yes. Adult life.
A damn adult voice in my head.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, what about that phone bill?
Yeah.
You know, and during the chorus, and you're like, you know, just not now.
Right, exactly. So just to get an idea, for somebody who has not listened to you guys before and has heard Primitive Data and really enjoys a song, are there other tracks on the upcoming album that you would recommend, or maybe on your previous work, just to so they can get a sense of what to expect, you know?
Well, the problem is I don't really pick one, but
or maybe like your top three or something.
Well, my favorite track from the previous album would be Infinity, which is the last one.
And my favorite would be Bird, which is, I think, the first one.
Second one. Yeah. So yeah, I think we would go with Bird and Infinity from Harmony of Spheres.
Okay.
You should have just went generic and said, listen to the whole album.
Listen to them all. Well,
they're all amazing.
I was tempted. Like, I was halfway there. But I knew you, that was a well-set trap.
You were lurking, huh?
I'm sure the entire album is amazing, and we can't wait to hear it.
Yeah. Well, I will definitely get my pre-order in for sure. So.
Oh, thanks.
Well, you're welcome.
Now, how much would it mean to you guys if you were to get on a bill with a bigger band and come to the States and tour?
Oh, a lot. The only problem is logistics. Like, it would have to be for a lot of dates.
Yeah.
For it to be worth a while. And for some promoters to actually do that. But as far as we are concerned, we would do it, like, instantly. But that goes for, you know, any place, I guess. Like, we just love playing live.
Yeah.
It's a good experience. So, yeah.
Well, we just...
I'm curious to see the U.S. In that way, because I'm used to the European landscape, which actually varies a lot. Like, within 2 hours drive, you see many different places.
Right.
And I've heard that in the US, you can be driving for like 6-7 hours and see the same landscape.
Yes.
And I'm curious to see how that feels like.
Yeah. Well, that is very true. Like,
you would also get very familiar with Walmarts and fast food as well.
Yes, that is very true that when you're driving through certain portions of the United States, the landscape and scenery pretty much stays relatively similar.
I'd say it depends on where in Michigan you're at. It's like that here. Like Oklahoma and I don't know, some of the
through the prairie states, the prairie they're pretty states, flat.
In the middle of the middle area. Wait, I was going to, I only brought it up because we just interviewed a band from the UK. They're just outside of London, and they were down in the States touring for about 2 months. I think they were on the road with another band.
Yeah, they're out of Reading, England. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, the UK was, I think it's a pain point in Europe because for some reason it's sort of difficult for bands to tour there.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the local promoters and the fees or whatever, but I think even Ernst Goldner from the UK, right? And I think they had like a post recently that was like, we are from the UK and it's more difficult for us to tour the UK than the rest of the world, which is weird.
Yeah, that is very weird.
Yeah.
But still, I much prefer being from like Europe than, let's say, Australia.
Yeah.
Imagine you have to cross just to get to like Europe or the US.
Right.
It's insane.
Exactly.
Yeah, Australia. Yeah. Australia. You play the same five bars every week.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bands in the States though that want to go to Europe because, you know, the metal and rock and roll scene out there is it's different. It's just more intense, I think. More fans come out and you know, more people are coming out to enjoy new music and, you know, see new things. So it's a different atmosphere out there for sure.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't have a big enough picture to like speak in favor of someone or badmouth someone else. Like, I could not say that, oh, the Germans are a bad audience.
Right.
What I do know is that we went into the neighboring countries in Eastern Europe and people actually knew the band. It was very weird for us because we don't have any delusions about the size of the band.
Right.
Right.
You know, it means everything to us, but we don't think we're, you know, huge.
Yeah. Don't have.
And people there were much less exposed to tons of bands because the problem in Athens is it's half of Greece in one city.
Oh.
So okay. At any given day, you can have like 5 to 10 gigs, you can pick and choose. It's saturated and people have used to having good quality gigs like every day.
Right.
But there it was refreshing because people actually cared. They did not go to gigs every day. And they really cared.
So
like,
excited.
They did their homework. They knew lyrics and were impressed.
Yeah, they knew the lyrics better than I did. And that was super impressive.
Yeah.
I had a friend that was a singer, and he said the only way he knew the lyrics was by watching his lyric videos.
I can relate to that person, yeah.
No, I brought it up because we've talked to plenty of bands now, and anytime that they go out to any band that has been to Europe, as we say, across the pond, they say that the crowds are amazing, and you know, like you said, they do their homework and they research and they know lyrics, which is amazing, you know.
And that's something, I mean, they truly do their homework and they're so excited, and you get this energy that you're not expecting. Like, I don't know, to me it was a new experience. Seeing people thanking us, I still cannot believe it, to be honest.
Yeah.
But they were so good.
Well, that's good. That's good. Oh, goodness. So, I know I'm just thinking about the fact that I still have to, at some point I have to walk my dogs in the snow, and I'm just dreading it. It's cold. It kills me.
Break yourself.
Yeah. So, well, I really hope that, you know, I wish you guys the best of luck.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And we'll certainly do what we can on House of Noise to promote your music, you know, share you with us Americans here, and hopefully.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
this will be uploaded to our podcast, and that plays on Spotify, iHeart, Apple, Google. Yeah, so all the platforms. So we'll make sure to share. We'll make sure to share it out to you guys too, as well.
And we'll do the same.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you guys so much, and best of luck to you on your next tour here, and can't wait to get the music.
Yeah, we're gonna pre-order.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.